Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm FPL Harry.
Hello, Harry, and I'm Press.
So this is the final international break of the season. But before we go and have a look at World Cup qualifiers and we look at the FA Cup the following weekend, we do need to talk about blank game week 31, our first blank of the season. It was also, of course, a blank game week because of the League Cup final. So congratulations to any Manchester City fans listening to this on your productive weekend. And I'm sure there are some fans of other clubs, particularly Chelsea like myself, who are not feeling quite as positive this morning as maybe you are. But we're here to talk about FPL, and it was the blank for Manchester City and Arsenal alongside Wolves and Crystal Palace. Praz, how did it go for you?
It was a funny week, really. I feel actually quite satisfied at the end of it, even though I only got 52 points, which wasn't great. It was a small red arrow. But what I felt was any player that I was looking to buy this week, you know, I was thinking of getting Malik Chow. I was thinking of getting Jared Bowen. They didn't do much either. So it was a bit like saving my transfers worked out. Of course, when I talk about my own team, James Hill getting an own goal wasn't ideal. Dango getting this knock, which we didn't know about, wasn't ideal at all. Ekitike walking off after 6 minutes wasn't ideal. So not great, but I think I feel okay after the week. How was yours?
Yeah, so mine, I suppose, was, sorry, Ben, I got 65 this week, which was enough for a green arrow. But basically, the only real difference is instead of those sort of noughts and minus ones, I got sort of threes, fours and fives, which is nothing particularly exciting. But in a week where there are sort of players being benched or low performers, having, you know, an Anderson of Fulham getting four and five this week, it adds up enough. So pretty happy with it. And just like you, I rolled my transfer this week. The player that I would have liked, and I'm sure we'll talk about later on, is Anthony Gordon, who I think started to look pretty good for Newcastle, despite them losing to Sunderland again this weekend. We'll talk about that later on, but pretty happy with it. We've mentioned a few Manchester United players, and I think that's probably a good place to start. Bruno Fernandes was the most captain player going into game week 31, and he came away with a goal and an assist, and route to points is something we talk about a lot, and he absolutely showed that. But actually, all the ownership in this game, which was quite high with the likes of Mbeumo, Senesi, Tavernier, James Hill, no one really came away with anything from an FPL point of view. It was only really Bruno, but he did start the game week off well, despite the fear of captaining a player in the first kickoff.
Yeah, I never get that fear of captaining the early kickoff. But it was a nice start to the game week, and Bruno delivering yet again. I mean, there was some discussion on his away form versus home form and Bournemouth's home form themselves in defensively, but I didn't feel like that. I mean, I just thought he's the best captain in a week where, you know, Man City and Arsenal options weren't available to us. So he showed with the penalty and a corner assist that route to points really matter in FPL. But talking about some of the other picks you mentioned, so let's start with Mbeumo. This was the second week in a row where he was subbed off for Sesko before taking Ahmad off. And I feel really that Cunha and Bruno are the mainstays, pretty much getting 90 minutes every game. So it's two out of Mbeumo, Sesko and Ahmad that are going to start and that are going to get the minutes. So it's not ideal for Mbeumo owners. I do think he was slightly unlucky in the last two games. He did have a few chances, but, you know, if you don't score in three or four games, then, you know, your minutes start to look dodgy. So there's a little bit of a question mark there. In terms of Bournemouth, my commiserations to Tavernier owners. I mean, they've been very, very unlucky. He's hit the post 3 to 4 times in the last 3 weeks. And then that moment arrives when they get a penalty kick and all the Tavernier owners are ready to enjoy their points and up steps Krupi Jr.
Yeah, I mean, that I have to say, of all the points dodging this weekend that there was and the blanks that there were, I feel like Tavernier owners can take the crown for being the most unlucky this week. Over the past couple of weeks, he's hit the post, yeah, I think 4 times in 3 game weeks. And then finally, just when you think you've picked the penalty taker, so this is what I'm going to have. Bruno captainers have done the same and they've got their points. So it's time for Tavernier to get his and him not to take it with Krupa Jr. having literally just come on the pitch. Definitely feels quite unlucky. I've got 5 transfers going into game week 32, and Brian Mbeumo is definitely one player that I'm looking at who might get one of them. Those reduced minutes, I think every week now, the reduced minutes start to creep into, will he just not start? And will he go with Sesko, Ahmad and Cunha as the front three in front of Bruno Fernandes? So despite it being Leeds at home, now it's a long way away. And I think it's worth noting that the big FA Cup games in 2 weeks' time will have a massive, you know, indication of what the rest of the season looks like. It will say what the doubles and blanks are likely to be. So as much as you might want to be transferring players out, you might even be wanting to play your wildcard in game week 32, which is going to be very popular. I really would urge and a strong recommendation to not be making any transfers over the next couple of weeks until those FA Cup results do roll around. Because if we get cup upsets, you know, Chelsea as a fan, I can say that if we lose to Port Vale, for example, which crazy if things have happened in the FA Cup, right? That would massively change who you might want to own on your wildcard. Trying to predict who wins between Manchester City and Liverpool and West Ham and Leeds could also change it. So you can have a look at planning your team, but yeah, I suppose a recommendation to wait until after those FA Cup games are done to decide what you want to do. But Brian Mbeumo is probably a player I will look to sell regardless over the next couple of weeks, despite it being Leeds at home. And I think Bournemouth defence, they've been great, right? Yes, you didn't get the points this week, but if you've owned them for 5 or 6 weeks, you've done pretty well out of them. But after this, it definitely gets more difficult.
Yeah, indeed. And I think that's, I guess, nothing else to add on Bournemouth. Bournemouth and Man United are two very interesting teams. Like you said, their ownership will be linked to how Bournemouth do, for example, in the FA Cup and what other doubles we get. So I think that's enough on them. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Chelsea, on what's been happening with Rossignol and company.
Yeah, I mean, one of the groups of fans listening to this who will not be quite as happy on this Monday morning as they have been at different parts during the season. And a loss midweek, a loss last weekend to Newcastle. And that's now, I think, the first time in 3 years that we failed to score in three consecutive games. And we've relied a lot on João Pedro for goals over the past few weeks. Anyone who's owned João Pedro against other Chelsea attackers like Enzo Fernandez or Cole Palmer will know that there's been a lot of reliance on João Pedro for attacking returns. And that's dried up a little bit, not really through any fault of his own. Just you can't do it for, you know, 8 or 9 games in a row. Eventually someone else is going to have to step up. And we haven't really had that. Enzo hasn't been getting those returns recently. We haven't seen much from Cole Palmer. This was his fourth lowest XG of the season with just 0.04. So that means he's had 3 games lower than that over the course of the season. And our wingers are not naturally big goal scorers. They're creators, they help defensively, but they're not big goal scorers. And we don't have many goals off the bench. So when João Pedro is not scoring and Palmer's not having his best game, which he hasn't recently, we've really struggled. And Everton are finding a bit of a run of form. They're charging their way up in the table towards us, which is slightly alarming, especially when you drop points to them. So a great performance from them across the field. Beto getting his goals, Illiman and Dai owners, if you've had Tarkowski this week. So I didn't really want points from him, but if Chelsea are going to lose, I suppose I'll take some FPL points. Pretty disappointing from us again, but a big win for Everton, right?
Yeah, look, I think as a neutral, I think Chelsea have also been a little bit unlucky over the last 4 games. So if we look at the underlying data, so if you just look at XG, they have had almost 6 XG created, but only 2 goals scored. And on the other hand, they've only conceded about 5 XG, but they've conceded 12 goals. So there's a little bit of, little element of either they're conceding from mistakes or from these worldies from outside the box. And so when you're doing that, that's not really sustainable. So this is not, maybe this is a little bit comforting to Chelsea fans, but all is not so bad. And hopefully, this XG will catch up and it'll mean that the performances are not too bad.
Yeah, I think that's what happens when you play PSG twice in a week and they have the ability. I was at the game at Stamford Bridge midweek and I saw 3 goals, which you could put in a catalogue of their own. And I think that's what happens when you play a team, particularly of a caliber like that, who are able to score, 8 goals against you in across 2 legs with not that much XG, but it doesn't feel like they're even breaking a sweat when they do. Not the best from Chelsea, but I still think going forward with some of the fixtures. And I think a big thing we talk about when we get back for the final 7 weeks of the season is motivation, right? Finding players and teams that have got something to play for. Yes, you can look at the data, the fixtures, but you also want a team that you know are going to have to be winning games and trying to grind out performances. And Chelsea are going to have to do that, especially with the likes of Brentford and with the likes of Everton getting closer and closer behind us, trying to get into that top 5, potentially top 6 if Aston Villa do well in the Europa League to try and qualify for the Champions League. Chelsea definitely feel like a team who've got that motivation, and we're out of the Champions League now. So that risk of rotation that you might have there is not going to be quite as much. Another team that are probably going to have a lot of motivation, but still in Europe, losing this week is Liverpool. And there was a lot of ownership on Ekitike going into this week. And he made all of 7 minutes before getting a dead leg before he was substituted off. And that was really the summary of the rest of the game for Liverpool assets. If you'd gone for Dominic Szoboszlai or Virgil van Dijk, you can celebrate the defensive contributions this week as probably one of the highest scoring players in my team and maybe in yours as well. But Brighton, Welbeck was top for non-penalty XG, and he might be a forward we look at for the run-in, because he's a player, when he finds a bit of form, it's a good time to start to consider buying into him. And they go away to Burnley in game week 32. So one to consider there as well. But I mean, Brighton were great. Not sure the same can be said about Liverpool. But when you're missing Salah and Ekitike along with Alexander Isak, it is a little bit understandable.
Yeah, and I mean, starting with Ekitike first, all 72% of Ekitike owners were asking him to just start running, just run it off, that dead leg. And, you know, even Slot was telling him that, you know, just run it off, but he couldn't obviously manage. And the irony is that post-match Slot said that he can probably play tomorrow in the sense that it was nothing major at all. And it was just one of those things that he couldn't shake off. But that's what FPL is. That's how it works. Ekitike has been so disappointing. When he's fit, he doesn't start. When he starts, he doesn't finish the game. But enough on him. I think Liverpool in general is a very difficult team to assess at the moment, because they have good fixtures. They're home to Fulham in game week 32. But that game week 32 fixture comes in the middle of two PSG ties. And it's not only just the two PSG ties, it's the dreaded Wednesday game, then a Saturday game, and then a Tuesday game, which is essentially three games in 7 days. And there is always rotation in that scenario. So a lot of people might be looking at their two or three Liverpool and going, yes, I have them, but what will they do in that Fulham game anyway? So it's a big question mark, and it'll be something that people consider on whether they wildcard them out or whether they keep them. But coming to Brighton, like you said, Brighton are a team that are likely to be popular if people do end up wildcarding in game week 32. Like you said, they have the Burnley game coming up, and I think generally they've been solid. Like if you think about who to target from Brighton, their defense has been pretty good. Over the last seven games, they've only conceded either zero or one, which means that your defense is not too bad. So if people are looking at Verbruggen or Van Heek, I think those are two good picks from the team. And then Welbeck, he is now the fourth highest forward in the league. Only Thiago, Haaland and João Pedro are above him. And he was top for non-penalty XG this week. So looks like he'll be popular as well.
Yeah, and he's quite a lot cheaper. I think a lot of us are looking at forwards when we've got the likes of, are we spending the money on Ekitike? Is he worth it? Even Haaland, is he worth it? You've got Thiago, João Pedro, Jared Bowen, and Danny Welbeck comes in at quite a nice cheaper price. So if you're short of funds, you're trying to do something else in your team. Now, if you're not going with Haaland, then maybe you do have the money to spare. But he's one to consider at a slightly cheaper bracket. I do think it's quite difficult to pick Brighton players, particularly just based off the minutes. Minter has been popular this season, but he's in and out of the team. We saw the same with Rutter earlier on in the season as well. I think one slight differential that I've got my eye on is Hinshelwood. He's only 5.1. If you're looking for a cheap midfielder going forward, he's not always playing in the same position, which means it's quite difficult to predict his points. But he's on the team sheet pretty much every week at the moment. And if, again, you're looking for a cheap midfielder for the run-in, they have a potential double. Again, we might hear that after the FA Cup results, depending on if Chelsea get through. He could be one to look at. But I do think the three that you've mentioned in Welbeck, Van Heek and Verbruggen are going to be the most popular. But just a shout to someone else at a slightly cheaper price. Just quickly back on Liverpool, because yes, that Fulham at home game is in between the two PSG ties. But between now and the end of the season, they again, just like Chelsea, are going to have an awful lot to play for. So I'm not necessarily going to be put off by just one Fulham at home game. It's more how you feel about them as a team in general, right? Because I think there's been a few opportunities over the past few weeks where if they'd have won all of their games over the past 2 months, they really would have pushed on and spread the gap between them and that sort of fifth and sixth place a little bit more than they have. And they haven't really managed to do so. Florian Wirtz had great form over Christmas and into January. And then when he picked up his injury, he hasn't really come back the same. Ekitike is there, but it also sounds like Alexander Isak is not too far away from being included back in the squad. Van Dijk was great for a few weeks and then has gone back to conceding a couple of goals every week. And Dominic Szoboszlai, as much as I love him scoring free kicks, has one open play goal this season, which I find difficult to buy an omen to my team, but you'll probably say that he's got route to points. But the fixtures are still not too bad, and they're a team with pedigree and the motivation. So do you feel you're going to move off them, or do you still think there's options for you there?
I mean, there's a world in which I hold on to two or three of them if I don't wildcard, because they have got a good fixture, good home fixture now, and in game week 34, which is likely to be another blank game week without getting into too much of future planning. Mm-hmm. So I think people will revisit them in game week 34 especially. But do I want to hold them for a long time? It's just very difficult to predict their performances. And the one thing we don't like in FPL is unpredictability with minutes and with performances, because then you'd rather pick a guy who's getting you, you know, 5-6 points a week. Anderson comes to mind, Elliot Anderson. And so then it's not as reliable. So as a team, their players are expensive. You know, Van Dijk is one of the most expensive defenders. Ekitike is more expensive than some of the other counterparts we've talked about, apart from Haaland. So it's just that when you take a position on that, yes, I'm going to hold Liverpool, you're also giving up on a lot of other good players. So I'm not too sure if I'll hold them for the very long term. Game week 34, I will probably be on them.
Yeah, I think I agree. They're not players that I'm going to be rushing to sell if I don't need to. If I don't play my wild card this week, I'll probably end up holding on to them because I don't mind some of those short-term fixtures. But if I had the luxury, then maybe I'd be looking to move elsewhere to someone I find a little bit more appealing. Although trying to find consistent points at the moment, when you look at the likes of Chelsea, of course, it was a blank for City and Arsenal, but even their attackers don't feel that consistent at the moment. I'm not exactly sure where I'm going to be spending the money and if it'll be any better spent than maybe it has been on Ekitike over the past few weeks. But anyone who's owned Ekitike for a longer period of time, I know a lot of people have got on him recently, knows that these ups and downs happen. So he'll score a 15-pointer and you'll think this is it. He's going to go on a run, and then it will be a few weeks of blanks, and then he'll do it again, and then a few weeks of blanks to come after that. But yeah, interesting to see how they get on in the FA Cup, of course, with Manchester City in a couple of weeks. We'll have a bit of an indication on how the rest of the season might look and fall for them in terms of blanks and doubles. Now on to the Sunday game, the big derby, probably one of the biggest derbies there is in English football at the moment, back in the Premier League. And Sunderland are the only team in the league for Newcastle to have lost twice to so far this season. That is not a stat that they will want to hear. And going 1-0 up early on, I really thought that this was going to be the week that Newcastle turned it back around, having been knocked out of Europe. But it wasn't to be. Sunderland have shown why they are where they are in the Premier League table and why they've had such a successful season, particularly in that second half today. There weren't very many FPL points to go around, apart from if you're a Gordon owner, if you're a Malik Chow owner, if you're a Lewis Hall owner, if you owned any of your Sunderland players to try and cover you through the blank. There weren't many points there, but it was definitely a good game of football.
It was great. And I think as a neutral watching the first 30 minutes, as somebody who didn't have any Newcastle, I was fearing the worst, because Newcastle were right on top as they started. And you'd expect that, because Sunderland were without what I would say would be five first-teamers. So they were missing the goalkeeper, Roofs. Ballard was not playing. Mukiele was not playing. Ronaldo was not playing. And Enzo Lefi. So that would be five first-teamers, I feel, or four at least, that would normally start. And then you're playing this huge derby game away from home. And I thought after 30 minutes, whether it was Newcastle tiring or Sunderland just getting it all together, they came back so fantastically. Like, all credit to them. From a FPL point of view, you're right. I think it was all Gordon. But even he was, yes, he's getting chances. That's 3 goals in 3 games now. In this one, he didn't have too many, apart from the goal that was essentially gifted to him. So I do think he'll be popular going forward. When you play in a team getting 80 plus minutes as the number 9, you will get chances, and he's on penalties. But in this particular game, Newcastle completely fell off the cliff after the 30th minute. And that reflected in the points that Hall, for example, got, and Malik Chow, who didn't start.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it started so well. I was not watching this game, and I saw the notification come in for 1-0 Newcastle, and it was Anthony Gordon. And I was fearing the worst with ownership on players like Lewis Hall and Gordon as well, thinking how bad could this get over the next hour from the players that I don't own. But yeah, as you say, particularly I think fatigue from a pretty big game against Barcelona midweek, we knew what they had to do, and they did it for about 60 minutes in that game in the Champions League. And just like Chelsea did, conceded a lot of goals in a pretty short space of time. And that's what some of the best teams in and around Europe are able to do. Between now and the end of the season, though, Newcastle have got Palace away, Bournemouth at home, Brighton at home, Forest away, West Ham at home, and Fulham away. And they, as much as their league campaign has probably not gone quite the way they've wanted to up until this point, they're a team that absolutely need results, and they will have motivation right up until the end of the season, because the more points they get, the more chance they have of, you know, qualifying for either the Conference League or into the Europa League, or even pushing up into sixth if they were to win a lot of those games left this season. So I know there's going to be a little bit of disappointment, particularly with the likes of Malik Chow, who I think is an interesting one. I think we expect him to come back into the team going forward, but he might be quite a difficult one for owners, particularly in game week 32, about trying to predict whether he definitely comes back in or not. Is it fatigue because he's played a lot of games? But a big derby like that seems a difficult one, an interesting one to pull out the fatigue card with the amount of games they've had recently. Trying to predict what he does going forward, and maybe Lewis Hall will be slightly safer. But I do think that even the likes of Anthony Gordon with those upcoming fixtures is going to be popular, I think, still.
Yeah, they're one of those teams like Chelsea, but Chelsea are still in the FA Cup. But they're only in the Premier League. There's no other competition to focus on. And so that matters, right? So the minutes will improve for some of the players. Performances should improve. Like, had Newcastle not played midweek, I feel like this was a game they would have won. So it's just these small differences that matter so much. So I do think Newcastle will be popular. Picking the right three, like you mentioned, apart from Gordon, that's where, you know, we don't know what the goalkeeper situation is. We don't know if you pick Chow. Maybe it's Hall and who else? Maybe Bruno Guimarães if he's back after the international break. It's going to be trickier, but it's definitely a team that will be in our FPL radars going forward because they could have a double game week, or likely to have a double game week, in fact, because Arsenal are also in the FA Cup. So should Arsenal win, then Newcastle could also have a double game.
Yeah, I was, having a first look at what a wildcard draft would look like over the international break, not pulling any transfers or anything, as I said, because waiting is the best policy here. But Bruno Guimarães being back for Newcastle after the break, along with the likes of Tonali in that midfield, would make a huge difference to them. And I think it would massively boost them as FPL prospects. Now, Sunderland have seen their ownership, I think, drop a little bit over the past couple of weeks, particularly with the Mukiele injury. Not that many people had the likes of Robin Rolfs left because he got injured. Alderete. But actually, over the next 4 weeks, they have Spurs at home, Forest at home, and Wolves away. So again, over the next few weeks, I think there are probably going to be some points in there for the Sunderland players. It just depends if they're the ones that you have enough space in your starting team to start, because they've not been quite as good over the past month or so, I'd say, compared to how they started the season. But if they play like they did in the second half here against some of those opponents that they've got in the next four, it could be back to being hurt by Mukiele's 12 pointers every week, or Alderete getting 20 plus DEFCON over the past few weeks that he's had as well. So I think Newcastle are the one that I'm looking at more, but I'm definitely not ruling out Sunderland for some nice cheap options for that run of games, I think.
Yep, likewise. I'm an Alderete owner. I've been the Alderete sufferer who didn't get defensive contributions when you start him. When you don't start him, he gets 20 plus. And he obviously ended up with 9 in this one. No complaints. Let's go to Leeds. Leeds-Brentford. Now, this was a game that I was struggling to say much about. There was not a lot of goalmouth action.
Yeah, I think the only people particularly happy with this are people who have held the likes of Joe Rodon for this game and held the likes of Kelleher as their goalkeeper. Another group of people that I probably feel a little bit sad for this week are Goodmanson owners who needed him for the blank and then got sent off last week, and then Leeds go on to keep a clean sheet, which is probably the last thing you want to see. But wasn't the most exciting game of the week. I think Dan Guattara was missed from that Brentford attack. Why he couldn't start? Yeah, apparently a slight knock, which kept him out of the start of that game. But he was so good for them in game week 30. So to see him not start and then see them not look quite as good going forward, I don't think was a massive surprise given how good he looked in that game. I think one of the key talking points is Thiago hit DEFCON outside of Jared Bowen, who's hit it quite a few times over the past few weeks. Is only the second forward this season. So the third
it's
one
the
in total.
The third, Harry.
Yeah.
No, there's another forward who's hit DEFCON. I was going to quiz you on who that is, you think.
I feel like I've seen the stat, but I can't remember who it is now.
It's Breuer.
Oh, well, I was. Yes. You could have given me all afternoon and I don't think I'd
it's why
I'd
I
have
didn't
ever got that.
Guess.
Yeah, so as much as blanks for a lot of the attackers in this game, at least Thiago got me a 4-pointer this week. But he's been a disappointing own. I think a lot of us bought him over the past few weeks with the nice run of fixtures, with some of the haul potential that he had earlier on in the season, expecting a little bit more than we've got from him over the past few weeks. And he's one going into the end of the season that I'll be having a bit of a question mark about whether he's in the perfect forward line. And I think Dan Guattara is still a good pick, but if the minutes aren't fully reliable like we saw here, again, that adds a little bit of a question mark to him. Now, Leeds have got quite a nice run of games. They go away to Manchester United this week, but then that's followed by Wolves at home, Bournemouth away, Burnley at home. So there's still you know, topics and questions about some of the players in this team. It just wasn't the best game for them, unless you're sat there with a Rodon owner or a Kelleher and you're thinking and you're listening, I was pretty happy with this game. I loved how this game went. I actually saw a team on Twitter that had double Leeds defense and Kelleher in goal. And they're probably thinking they're sitting saying, well, this is exactly how I wanted this game to go. And congratulations to you. But for most of us with the attackers like Calvert-Lewin, Dan Gritar or Thiago, it's not one to live long in the memory, I don't think.
Yes, and we don't need to talk about this game anymore as a Dango and a Thiago owner. But yeah, it is what it is. And actually, I mean, I would say one thing. It's a good lesson on when we think about blank game weeks and we think about, shall I make my team more perfect? Shall I move some of my players to this player? Sometimes you just have to leave it and just, you know, some things happen, like Leeds getting a clean sheet. So Leeds look good. I mean, it is a draw. But I think they are pulling away from some of the other teams like Spurs and Forest, who we'll talk about. But before we do that, let's talk about Villa and two players who have trolled a lot of FPL managers all season, Rodgers and Watkins finally getting an FPL return.
Yes, I mean, how many of us owned at least one of these, if not both of these, in our game week one teams at the beginning of the season? And it's taken until, I mean, Rodgers has been quite good and Watkins has got his goals, but it feels like this is the first big return from Rodgers that people have been happy with over the past few weeks. And if you've held him for the blank, a six-pointer, as much as he could have had more,
yeah,
he was right up there for chances created and potential goals this weekend. And at the game, how he didn't come away with more than just a six-pointer, I was very surprised by it. But this was a very good performance from Aston Villa. And if you are a Leeds fan or a Spurs or a Forest fan, seeing the way that West Ham performed in this game will give you a little bit of a boost that it wasn't their best performance over the past few weeks. They were out without Tadiba, who got injured in the warm-up, and that, you know, caused a change in shape as they brought Potts into their midfield with him dropping out, which I just think meant that West Ham hadn't really mentally prepared to play a back four compared to a back five that they probably prepared for most of the week. And you could see that impact in them, a slight sort of dynamic shift with their wing backs in the likes of Wan-Bissaka and Diouf trying to get very far forward, who are players that I've considered buying over the next couple of weeks. But yeah, the other big thing for West Ham is how much they miss Somerville, who's been a real shining light for them over the past few weeks. But yeah, enough on West Ham. It was a really strong performance from Villa. If you've held on to Matty Cash for this, if you held on to Watkins, or you went there as a punt, you went on, you know, John McGinn, Morgan Rodgers, there are lots of points to go round for them. And some okay fixtures for them over the next few weeks, maybe not quite top of our radar, but yeah, definitely some performances there to take into the few weeks if you are keeping hold of their players.
Yeah, with Villa, the thing is, they will still, of course, continue to have the Thursday games. They're favourites to win the Europa League, and Unai Emery loves the Europa League, as we know. So it's going to be tricky from an FPL point of view on who you rely on. As we know, with the frustrations of Rodgers and Watkins, it's not easy to predict their points either. But I think they're looking solid and they're finding a way in pretty much every game. This was a fantastic weekend for Villa fans, by the way. I mean, Chelsea losing, Liverpool losing, Man United drawing. I mean, they're suddenly back in it after those couple of disappointing results against Chelsea and Man United. So good result for them. I think just one word on West Ham. I'm still bullish on their prospects once Somerville comes back. I mean, when he was free and he was available, he was the outlet. He was the guy who was taking the ball forward, a bit like a mini Doku, what he does for Man City, right? He's the guy who people look for. He makes the runs, carries the ball, and then finds Bowen in the box. So I think him coming back after the international break will be huge for them. And hopefully they get their injured players back as well, some of the others. So it's going to be very exciting at the bottom of the table with Spurs, Nottingham Forest, and West Ham fighting it out.
Yeah, I agree. I almost had a look at buying Jarrod Bowen into my team this week. And I think there are other West Ham players with, you know, Wolves at home, Palace away, Everton at home over the next three that are absolutely, they are a team full of motivation towards the end of the season. And they do feel so, particularly like someone like Jarrod Bowen. And I remember it was this time last year that Jarrod Bowen went on a crazy run to end the season where it was a goal or an assist pretty much every single week. And if you didn't own him, it was how late did you get onto him rather than did you bother to go onto him, because he was so good. And I do have it in the back of my mind that they've got the motivation, they've got the fixtures, and could it be Jarrod Bowen time, or could it be someone like Somerville as well? You mentioned the two teams or some of the teams that they are fighting with down at the bottom who faced off against each other. I think there was a lot of optimism going from the Spurs side into this game, particularly with Forest going to extra time on Thursday evening, Spurs drawing against Liverpool last weekend, and then actually winning, although not qualifying, in the Champions League midweek. But they actually started quite well in this game. There were chances and it could have easily gone into halftime, 1-0, 2-0 Spurs, but they didn't capitalize on them. And that Forest goal just before halftime meant that the second half came out. And yeah, this is a huge result for Forest in terms of that relegation battle, and one that will have knocked a lot of wind out of the sail of Spurs that they carried or tried to carry into this game.
It's just, I mean, fragile comes into mind as a word to describe Spurs, right? Because they had all the momentum, you know, the fans were right up for it. I saw when the team bus was pulling in that, you know, you could see the white clouds and yeah, the fans were up for it. Maybe the team was as well. But as soon as you concede, the morale just drops, the shoulders just drop. And I think that's what's happening at the moment, where after that goal went in from Jesus, I mean, it was just nothing. Like, that performance was nothing. So they have their work cut out to change the results. Looking at their fixtures, apart from the next two, I don't know where the big results come from. But look, there's a lot of uncertainty in at Spurs. We're not really buying Spurs players at the moment. So I guess we don't need to talk a lot more about them and let them figure it out over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I don't think there's going to be much investment into Spurs between now and the run-in. And I doubt there's going to be that much investment in Nottingham Forest, actually. They've got Aston Villa at home and Burnley at home in the next two, followed by Sunderland away. So there are some good games in there. But I think it's quite difficult to predict exactly where their goals are going to come from. Igor Jesus has not scored a load of goals this season. Gibbs White has found a little bit of form. My hero, Elliot Anderson, coming in with another five-pointer here is a very nice one to tick along. But we're getting to the point of the season where people start to chase. They're trying to look for high upside, exciting players. And as much as Elliot Anderson over a 15, 20 week period, and he's starting to take more shots, is a great, you know, player for the long term, he might not be one that's going to massively throw you up your mini leagues. But yeah, I think there are some Forest players you could consider if you're trying to go in for like 1 week punts for Burnley at home or Villa at home this week, which I think will be a good game. But maybe not too much investment in either of these teams going forward. The final game, which does have some investment, Burnley 1, Fulham 3. Harry Wilson continues to get the returns. Outside of that, there was a Raul Jimenez penalty as he came off the bench but didn't start. Anderson in defence came with a four-pointer. Dubravka, who most of us were relying on, did get his hand to the penalty, but not enough to keep it out and give us the penalty save, apart from Harry Wilson being unstoppable. And I know we spoke about Liverpool being a bit fragile and that game being in between their two PSG games. I'm suddenly not too worried about having Harry Wilson in my team away at Liverpool going into 32. And he just continues to look pretty unstoppable, right?
That left foot is really something. And you know, now it's become one of those things where the Fulham players do try to lay him off to take those shots a lot more. You know, the better you do, the more people rely on you to do the same thing. And he had four shots in the box, which is the highest in the game. So a lot of people I know captained Harry Wilson. Obviously didn't match Bruno, but it was nice to see him get a goal. He was my transfer in this week, so it's always nice to see that being delivered as well. And yeah, I think he's a good pick, but I think Fulham in general, we get into that time of the season where, yeah, I mean, I think the Liverpool game is not too bad. But the longer we go into the end of the season, the more on the beach word is used. And I think Fulham would fit that category. Now, maybe I'm being harsh. Maybe they can push for the European spots. We'll see how the next two or three game weeks go. But there is a danger that if you're carrying your Fulham players too long beyond game week 35, then you do get some unpredictability in results.
Yeah, I think Fulham fans might not take kindly to you saying that they're going to be on the beach. They are, I suppose, they're just 2 points behind Everton, who are currently in a Europa Conference League spot. And there are clubs, Brentford, Everton, Fulham, Brighton, and even down to Sunderland, Newcastle, potentially even all the way down to Bournemouth, that will be looking at that and thinking if they finish the season strongly, they could fair be enough, in with a shout enough of that. So I think
see this for Fulham every year, though. Like, you know, they're in with a shout, but don't really get there. But look, I mean, this wasn't any throwing shade on Fulham. I think they've been good. But, you know, when we talk about FPL picks from Fulham, then where are we going? If it's Harry Wilson, apart from him, maybe Anderson. But they've been not so reliable in defence either. So maybe it's an FPL lens that I'm saying. Maybe it's not a team you have to invest in.
I think it's more from an FPL point of view, how long do you hold Harry Wilson and how much do you have a look at someone else? But he's proving to be pretty fixture-proof at the moment. I don't feel like I'm in a massive rush to get rid of him because whoever he's playing against, and yes, in previous seasons, they might not have quite got across the line, but doesn't feel like they've had a player playing quite the way like Harry Wilson is to try and drag them across the line on those final few games. Definitely I'll be keeping an eye on him as he's probably that breakout or that standout performer that we didn't expect this FPL season, I'd say.
I would agree with that. And it's been quite nice seeing him. And Wales have got this massive playoff game coming up, which is huge for Wales' qualification to the World Cup. So couple of weeks coming up for Harry Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah, and normally we get to the end of these pods and say maybe there's some midweek cup action that we need to look out for or what we need to think about for the next round. But in this case, it's the international break. And as Harry mentioned earlier in the podcast, right after the international break, we have the FA Cup games, which are going to massively shape up how the double game weeks look in the future. So, you know, hold off with those transfers. I would even say if you can hold off pressing that button, if you're on the brink of pressing that wildcard button, take a break for a couple of weeks, come back, and then you can see what you have to do post that.
Yeah, I am on the brink of making transfers and on the wildcard button as well, but I will be holding off just like that advice. And we might be on a bit of a break from the Premier League and from FPL for a couple of weeks, but Kelly, Jules and Sam will still be back on Thursday and they'll be reflecting a little bit more on the season so far.
And if you haven't already done so, don't forget to join the FPL Pod Mini League. The code is XY6XPL. Harry, this has been a lot of fun. A nice little, a pod before we go into a mini break.
Exactly. Thank you, Praz. And it was a good podding with you as well. Everyone, enjoy your break and we'll see you all soon.
See you all.